This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 257 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, December 21st. Oh, how I love this day of the year, 2016. I am your host. Did I already say I'm your host, Jeff Chandler? Anyways, here's my co-host, Marcus Couch. I'm repeating myself. I'm getting so, mixed, wrapped up in the day.
Yeah, and happy birthday. Today is your 33rd birthday.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed.
This means you're officially a man. Congratulations.
It took 33 years.
All right. But today's a good show. We're going to run through some of the remainder of the news. And then next week is going to be our kind of year in review. And then I think we're going to do it maybe a time capsule or predictions. And I know we threatened that last year. I don't know if we went through with it. And we'll have to listen to those shows and find out. But a lot in store for this episode, too.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. My birthday falls on the day that we're recording an episode. I mean, this won't happen again for another 7 years. So, wow, wouldn't that be something if you and I grow old together doing WordPress Weekly in 7 years from now, or we're doing the same exact thing on my birthday?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. I have already podcasted for 12 years. So,
holy smokes. So longevity is not an issue.
No, and I just got a note. It's weird. I just got a notification from Facebook that says, those little cute movies and stuff. It's like, Here, you've been on Facebook 10 years. It's like, I've been wasting my time on Facebook for 10 years.
Yeah, they just wanted to remind you of that.
Yeah. But, I think the show's going to go forward for a long time. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, I hope so. So speaking of shows, I wanted to talk a little bit about episode 256. I know that you were contacted by a few loyal listeners. It turns out that I wrote the show notes post. I had everything ready, and I swear I thought I published it. And as it turns out, it was sitting in draft status in the back end of WP Tavern. And wow. I was like, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, you contacted me and said, "Hey, what's up with the show?" And I said, "What are you talking about? I already published it." And turns out, no, I didn't. So I think the show came out on Monday, and then we're doing the show today. The show notes out today, so you'll get the double version of WordPress Weekly back to back. So it's you'll like have Christmas. Plenty to listen to. Yeah,
it's your Christmas miracle.
Yeah, so that's what I have. And I highly encourage you to check out episode 256. That was with Tony Perez of Sukuri. And, boy, we covered a lot of ground in that episode. And he talks kind of fast, but he's passionate about security. And you may have to listen to that show 2 or 3 times to really digest all the information that was said. And I know some people listen to the show at 1.5 times the speed. It's something they usually do with podcasts. And I wonder how that show will sound.
Good at luck.
1.5. Yeah. I was just wondering. So... before we get into the news, I wanted to, we're going to sort of sit back, relax. We've had quite a few guests on the show, and we're just going to talk about some stuff. But Marcus, I have been working on a side project, a WordPress site that also has BuddyPress on it, and it's dedicated to a game I play, a video game with a lot of other people, and we're creating this website as we're creating a league around this game. And they needed a website because we're starting to have players and teams and things of that nature. And I ended up telling my friend, I said, "Hey, I suggested to him, why don't you use WordPress?" And I gave him a couple of tips, but I didn't give him one-to-one training on how to do things. And two or three weeks later.
You never used WordPress ever?
No.
Okay.
No. So 2 or 3 weeks later, after telling them that, I noticed that the site was loading slowly, that there were things on the site, like, I had no idea what was going on. And it turns out that once he learned how to install plugins, the rest is history. He went on a little plugin install spree. Hmm. And, there's a lot of things that interest me about this. It gives me a perspective on new user experience of WordPress. And I found it interesting that What he had done is he had one of the plugins he installed was MotoPress Content Editor. It's like a front end page builder. Mm-hmm. And he came across that plugin and he was using that and he was able to visually put elements and articles and create them in this layout on this page that showed up on the front page of the website. And what he was actually doing is sort of mimicking the blog portion of WordPress, but on the static front page and through the page builder. So instead of actually, he was publishing posts, but he was also creating this very long vertical single page of all this stuff, you know, and there was stuff that you could put into widgets and mm-hmm. it was on this one vertical page that he created. So that didn't help things. And then I said, you know, the interesting part is, you know, WordPress has all this functionality built in, but for him, he has no idea. So he was installing plugins that allowed embedding of videos. WordPress has OEmbed built in, but he doesn't know that. It's like a hidden feature. So he was installing. We had all these different plugins that added features that he didn't know were already existed in WordPress. You know, and I just sat there and thought about that for me. How many others out there had this sort of same experience when they're brand new to WordPress and they know what they want in their head. They don't know WordPress already has it because maybe they're new to the platform. They haven't followed it for a while. They do a plugin search. They find a plugin that does the functionality and they use that instead. It was just an interesting way of looking at how some new users, you know, that's sort of their experience with their first experience with WordPress.
And what I find is actually equally as interesting is now that you're seeing that, you kind of get a sense of what I have to go through when I have new clients that are in WordPress. I've dealt with
we're like in situations where instead of being able to start from scratch, the first thing you have to do is almost undo or untangle the web that they've created first.
Yeah. So obscure form plugins is my bane. That's like the worst. And there are instances where I've said, well, you know, you use extension X, Y, and Z over here from the third party. You know, you can use Gravity Forms and it hooks right into it. And they're like, well, what's Gravity Forms? Right. So you're right. I mean, there is a lack of basic, I guess, compatibility knowledge and what the base functionality is of WordPress in some instances. And that's you've got some vital insight there on what the process is typically for somebody that goes through and has to redo a WordPress website that's already existing.
Yeah. So that's what I spent the majority of my time doing over the past 2 weeks is undoing what he did. And mm-hmm. Hey, I don't fault him for it because, you know, how is he supposed to know all of these cool nifty features that are in WordPress? He can't, and he doesn't. And I mean, he could do a Google search if he knew what he was looking for, and that might help him. But, you know, how does, you know, on a wider scale, how does WordPress, outside of all the various pointers and maybe videos, how do they bring all these features to the forefront to let new users know that they exist? I mean, and then which features do you highlight? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like a complex problem that's not easily solvable.
No. And there is a lot to the different kinds of site platforms that you're looking for in relation to having a league. I've done league sites for bowling leagues before where people have to post in their scores and you can see what the round robin is. Mm-hmm. There is a flying game that a long time ago I did a site for where people had to go in and report their scores for everybody and all of that, and it was pretty interesting. So I'm curious to see what your site's going to look like. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you'll show it to me when it's time.
Well, there's a plugin out there for WordPress. It's called SportsPress or SportsPress Pro, and this supports you can do tournaments. It adds all these different taxonomies and custom post types, user roles like league manager and WordPress, where you could do, I think it's round robin or some type of bracket that you could do, but they have all these abilities where you can add stats to players. Players can have their own pages, profile pages, teams, And right now, we're sort of in the midst of trying to learn how this works. It's complicated. There's a lot of things involved with managing a league with a lot of teams and a lot of players. And right now, we're just trying to get to grips with how it works and how we can best take advantage of it. And I imagine at some point, we're going to look into finding ways to automate some of the processes that are involved. And we also installed BuddyPress, which is a social layer, social element to the site. And one of the things we're running into right now is SportsPress has its own sort of profile, and then BuddyPress has its own profile. So there's two different user profiles, which is an issue that people run into on WordPress.org, or at least they used to, where there's a BuddyPress profile and then a BBPress profile, like in the support forums. And the two were vastly different in terms of the information that was available on each. So we're looking at possibly merging them, or maybe even seeing if BuddyPress is the way we want to go about things. I'm learning a lot. You know, the biggest thing about this project for me is it's the first time in a very long time. In fact, since the Tavern, when I founded it, used to be my experimental playground. It's where I tested plugins and I wrote about them. That's how I learned stuff. But now that the Tavern is sort of, official, you know, I can't really be experimenting on the Tavern website anymore. It's got to be there. We can't break it. I haven't been able to really tinker with things. And by working on this website for a friend, it gives me a sense of purpose and really allows me to get back into a problem solver experimenting mode. And it's been refreshing.
Yeah. See, you're facing a common problem that a lot of people that I help out with membership site stuff do, because especially if you're going to be doing courses and then you're also going to have the user account hook into things like Infusionsoft, how does BuddyPress and BBPress tie in?
Right.
And that's a huge issue. And what's the default profile? Your BuddyPress profile or something else? And then where do you put those custom fields in?
Yeah, and that's something else we're looking at too, is possibly maybe recreating a registration form or a page, which I know there are forms plugins out there that allow you to do that. And, but then how do we get SportsPress fields? You know, how do we get the registration page so we can automate a couple things? But then that information is put directly into SportsPress. Mm-hmm. So you know, those are a lot of the things I'm trying to work out right now. And it's a learning process, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Good.
So well, that's a little something I'm working on the side. And this is the first opportunity I've had to really try out BuddyPress. And, you know, I'll say this. The thing that drives me nuts is the design aspect of things. And, boy, for a WordPress theme, if they don't have if a WordPress theme doesn't account for styling all the various elements in BuddyPress, BuddyPress looks ugly. Yeah, yeah, it looks bad. That's something we're going to look into.
That's why I had the tone with Triple J that I did the last time that we talked to him was, you know, this is all great from a functionality standpoint, but what about a usability standpoint?
And I know BuddyPress has built in, you know, it's pretty good with theme compatibility, but theme compatibility only gets you so far when the theme doesn't really account for specific elements that make up BuddyPress. So, right. You know, certain things are gray or white or they don't really match and they're out of place. And the whole alignment issue, and you know, that has more to do with the WordPress theme itself accounting for BuddyPress than BuddyPress itself. But that's something we're going to look into.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're in that project. It sounds fun.
So let's something we sort of avoided here for the past couple of weeks, but you know, in case anyone doesn't know by now, WordPress 4.7 was released in the last major version of 2016, and there was a lot of things. There's probably something in here for everyone. Of course, this WordPress 4.7 was named after Vaughn or Sarah Sassy Vaughn.
Oh, I thought that was from Wild Thing.
I knew that was. I saw your tweet about that. I liked it. I enjoyed that. So, you know, one of the first major things, of course, is the 2017 default theme, which looks pretty nice. In fact, I still think it's one of the first default themes I think that looks better in mobile view than in desktop view. I just really like the way it's presented on a mobile device. There's also starter content now for themes. So if you're creating a new WordPress theme, you can hook into starter content for certain pages. So you don't have to be stuck with or having to go download Lorem Ipsum or do something like that. You can, as a theme author, tap into core starter theme content. So that'll help out new users from a fresh install. And one of my favorite features, which we talked about on the show with Nick Halsey and Weston Reuter, boy, that was a great episode all about the customizer,
right?
Is these edit shortcuts. So if a theme supports them, and most themes already support them, if you open up the customizer, you'll see these little blue icons with a pencil in them on certain elements on the page. And what that tells you is if you click on that button, it'll automatically open the section of the customizer that's appropriate for that area, and you can edit things. So, you know, for example, the site title, click right next to it, it automatically loads the site identity portion of the customizer, and you can edit the site title right there. And, you know, like I said, I think this is a great feature because it visually bridges the gap between, it makes things a lot more convenient for a user. So instead of having to go through all the various panels, and depending on the theme you're using, there could be a lot of panels in the customizer. You just click a button and it automatically loads where you're supposed to be to edit that section on the site. I think that's a big feature.
Yeah. And actually I just noticed today, because the plugin came out 3 hours ago prior to this show. There's a new plugin called Advanced 2017, and it helps you customize even further. Yes.
How about that?
This is not a plugin pick of the week, but what it does is it enables you to do custom layouts. So you can do either full width or boxed, custom font, custom colors for each part, the header, site branding, footer widget area, copyrights, all that.
Holy moly.
Custom styles, and it allows you to insert custom code like HTML stuff or Google Analytics, Facebook pixels, all that. So check that out in the repository. I have not tested it myself, but it's called Advanced 2017.
And this is a plugin, correct?
Yes.
And it works in conjunction, obviously, with the 2017 theme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to have to take a look at that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So WordPress 4.7 also adds content authorship to menus in the customizer. So what this means is users can create pages now while setting up menus without having to navigate back to WP admin. So it bridges another gap. And then another one of my favorite features is this custom CSS with live preview. So if you open up the customizer, there's a new section called additional CSS, and any CSS changes you put in there would be tied to the theme. And I like it because it allows me to not have to create a child theme. Now, if you're going to edit many things that relate to a theme or have a lot of edits, and you know, child themes probably still the way to go. But if you're going to make one-off edits to certain elements or plugins, edit CSS is a additional CSS, and the customizer is a perfect way to go about it. And I've been using it a lot lately, and me and this part of the customizer are best friends. Now it's been working great.
Yeah, and one of the things with 4.7 that have been implemented is changes within the Tiny MCE editor.
Mm-hmm.
Removed things like underline and justify. And what happens when this happens? Like always,
there's like a lot of people who get upset.
There is a new plugin that is called Tiny MCE Recover, which gives you underline and justify back into the editor again.
That's right. So whatever WordPress core taketh away, plugin authors giveth back most of the time.
That's how right. It works.
And there are, you know, it's not like, you know, those are buttons. And I know some people out there use these buttons, but it's been discussed over the years. I mean, it's not like they just decided to rip these icons out. Good justifications for why these buttons were removed. Like justify is something that's better handled in browsers, and the underline, it causes accessibility issues by making text, you know, it's common for links to have an underline. So if you underline regular text, you know, a lot of people sometimes think that's a link and it doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, there's issues there. I mean, some people, I know people who rely on those or use those buttons are pretty upset and think they just, the core team just decided to rip those out for willy-nilly, but that's not how it works.
Just to make room. Yeah. We need room in the tiny MCE editor. Get rid of those buttons. Scrap it.
And a couple other improvements here. PDF thumbnail previews now. So when you upload a PDF document to the WordPress Media Library, it will take the first page and create a preview screenshot of it. Mm-hmm. So that's neat. There's user admin languages. Oh, and guess what, Marcus?
Yeah.
Media Library is now searchable by file name. So a small improvement for you. We're making
by file name. Yeah.
Don't even start. We have OEmbed support for Facebook stuff. So post activities, photo, videos, media, questions, notes. You can easily embed that stuff into WordPress. And the one that we've been talking about for a long time and we never kind of look like we may never reach core, but WordPress REST API, also known as Flying Cars, the content endpoints were added to WordPress 4.7. So endpoints for posts, comments, terms, users, meta, and settings. And what this does, the API opens up new ways of accessing and presenting WordPress content and themes, plugins, and applications, both inside and outside the traditional WordPress interface. And, you know, that may or may not be mentioned in our predictions, but, you know, something I want to see in 2017 is, you know, Marcus, we talk about the REST API. Everybody's talked about the REST API and what it enables. And now that we have a full API that's in WordPress core in 2017, we better be talking about great applications or great things built using the WordPress REST API in 2017, or else, you know, we're going to be scratching our heads like wondering, well, you know, what was all this hubbub for?
Yeah. And I want to make sure that it's independent so that it can do things with third-party services like Infusionsoft and Salesforce and some of those other things. I want to see it take things from Google Ads and do URL pass-throughs and be able to pull in data based on what those things from like Google Tag Manager are. So if I click on if I'm on Google and I click on something and it goes to a particular landing page, there may be some parameters that are stuffed into that URL. I want it to be able to pull that URL and then do stuff on the page based on that URL.
Mm.
Will it do that? Time will tell.
Yeah, I have no idea. the WordPress.org homepage, after many, many years, is getting a redesign.
Mm-hmm.
So the homepage design is in the works. Mark Urain, who is a designer at Automattic, posted on the make.meta blog showcasing a concept image. And to our listeners out there, I'll try to describe this to you, but it's one of those vertical layouts where as you scroll down, you'll see various, I guess you would call them hero images with highlights of features. There's icons, and that's sort of the trend right now in many themes and website designs is this vertical, like instead of creating pages that you'd click on and you just see this one square page, now you have all your pages, but they're vertically stacked. And that's kind of what this new design looks like with, you know, a picture of a map. There's community. You get started with WordPress. Then there's icons down here. I don't know if this helps the listeners, but it's just a big, long vertical page and with the colors and that. It looks refreshing. And, of course, they're going to iterate quickly on this design. I'm looking forward to seeing what the end product looks like. But I know for a long time now, the current WordPress.org design is, I don't know, it's a little stale. But I have more issues with the content, the organization of things. There's menus everywhere. And I think the whole menu structure and where the content is needs to be revisited and things need to be simpler and easier to find.
Yeah, I'm looking at the beta of the new plugins directory as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't see much improvement. I mean, they're showing a table of plugins, you know, like when you click on popular, that it doesn't, like, I should see a grid, not just too wide across. You know, it should be a little stacked where the icon is above the name and, you know, the stars maybe under that and then the description. I don't know. I need to get on Slack and maybe volunteer some ideas on this.
Yeah, so that's deploying and redesign. And all of these designs actually are sharing a common theme. So that'll be nice to see some consistency around all the various pages. But there's already a lot of people weighing in on the redesign concept page. So, you know, it's nice that they post these concepts on the make blogs. And as long as you're aware of, you know, these make blogs and where the conversation is happening, you can get involved and have your say, give some feedback. So,
yep. And I'm not too worried about the WordPress directory, the plugin directory, because that's what I'm for. So if you don't even need to go there, just listen to the show, find out what the cool plugins are with my plugin picks of the week, and you don't really need anything else.
Man, you make things so easy.
How about it?
So WooCommerce, how about them? WooCommerce is now powering 42% of all online stores. So last week, Automattic published its annual year-end review stats, which includes WooCommerce. And these are the stats that they published the first time since they acquired Woo back in 2015. As of December, of course, this month, there's almost 1.6 million active stores using WooCommerce, and roughly a third of those are new in 2016. So WooCommerce, even with the acquisition, is still growing. They've managed to maintain growth and improve the product at the same time. And there's some insight in here in this article written by Sarah Gooding on WP Tavern about storefront. Storefront, I think is the default theme that comes with WooCommerce. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about redoing sort of that theme to make things a lot easier for stores and to make things a lot easier for store owners to give themselves a unique design. Because I think that's one of the big trends that we're seeing now is a lot of the e-commerce stores have a look to them that make them cooler than the others. So they're going to be doing a lot of work on the storefront theme. And, you know, something I thought was interesting, and maybe you can weigh in on this, Marcus, is that Matt Mulloway commented on this, and he says that both Jetpack and WooCommerce, he thinks, individually could be bigger than WordPress.com. He says right now they're both smaller than WordPress.com, but he thinks each on their own could be several times larger. He says there are multi-billion dollar opportunities in both, so that's what they're working on. So how about that, you know? And I think it's, hey, WooCommerce, man, e-commerce, of course there's going to be money in that, but the multi-billion dollar opportunity, that's big.
I don't see it with Jetpack. I just don't. And you know, that's just because of my own bias, but I don't see that. With WooCommerce, absolutely.
Yeah, there WooCommerce, it's not too hard to see.
No. I mean, I see so many cool plugins and use so many cool plugins. When I was building up a particular membership site lately, it's probably about 6 months ago, I had the opportunity to go to different kinds of membership tie-ins and things like that. But I ended up going to WooCommerce and spending $500 on plugins.
There you go. There's the multi-billion dollar opportunity. Yeah.
Why did I do that? Because I know that they're going to work. I know that I will get support for them. I know that there is infinite expandability within WooCommerce and that there are people on the other end that are taking advantage of that. So it's wise to invest in those kinds of technologies. So I firmly believe that within a year, and I'll make this prediction now, we will be well over 50% of the internet will service e-commerce through Woo.
50% of all online stores will be using WooCommerce is what you're saying.
That's my prediction.
By the end of 2017.
Yes.
No, I think that's a pretty good prediction.
Well, I mean, that's
the trend's pointing that way anyway. So,
well, you would think, but what's the other, you know, okay. So if it's 42%, what's the other 58% Amazon store? I mean, what is that? I'd like to know.
We're looking at, well, there's There's Magento, which is 5%, Shopify 6%. There's a lot of other things in here like Magento Enterprise, BigCommerce, Fusion, Yahoo Store, Demandware, Oracle. But a lot of the 45% is just other. So something other than those and WooCommerce. And who knows what that is? PHP carts, you know, I don't know. But there is something interesting here as well in this data is that WooCommerce market share is growing in emerging markets like India and Mexico. So that's also something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I'll give somebody a free idea. Here you go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest things about Amazon and eBay is that you through their app, you can sell things and take a picture of it and describe it right with your phone. Whoever can come up with the first app that actually hooks into their WordPress installation where you can take pictures of products and put pricing and all that right on your phone and then send it to the store to go live, that's going to be an app that is going to make some money. So all you app developers out there, download the eBay app, look at it, and make the same kind of connection interface with WooCommerce.
That sounds like something, a valuable opportunity that to me sounds like it should definitely be possible with the REST API.
Right. You've already got 50% of the internet powered through that one e-commerce application. So there is a market for it.
So there you go. Speaking of plugins, we're going to keep on the plugin train here. There's two acquisitions I wanted to mention in case any of our listeners use these plugins. And the first is that Podcast Motor. Marcus, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Nope.
They've acquired the Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin, which was created by Hugh Lashbrook back in 2012. And Seriously Simple Podcasting is installed on nearly 20,000 sites, and out of 104 reviews has an average rating of 4.9 stars. So that's a plugin that's worth its weight in gold. You know, that's a great plugin. So Lashbrook said that he no longer has time to dedicate to the project, and so he sold the plugin along with all of its free add-ons to Craig Hewitt, who is the founder of Podcast Motor. And Podcast Motor is they provide editing and production services to podcasters. So they'll edit your show, they'll help you launch it, do all kinds of things revolving around podcasting. And he says that the plugin will remain free, and his first priority right now is to enhance the functionality of the product, fix any bugs, add features like RSS feed validation, enhance the front-end styling of the on-page podcast display, and things of that nature. So what's nice is instead of Hugh abandoning the plugin or putting it up for adoption, he's found a great owner who's eager to improve on his work. And good news for all you Seriously Simple Podcast plugin users out there. It's going to continue.
Yeah, I've not heard of Podcast Motor, nor have I used the Simple Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin. So I don't have much to say about that. I use the Blueberry Podcast plugin, and it works great.
As do I. Mm-hmm. And the Blueberry PowerPress, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, it's PowerPress. There's a lot back there if you really want to get into it and get in depth. But for me, I set it up to where, you know, I went through the simple configuration, set up iTunes, set up the image. And once you set it up, it's set and forget. You don't really have to go back in and mess around with anything.
Right. Yeah, the biggest problem in it, in that bottleneck is iTunes.
Right.
It's the hardest part.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the plugin at all.
So Updraft Plus, which I know is a very popular plugin, a lot of people use this to do backups on their site. They've acquired the WP Optimize plugin, and their plans are to integrate the plugin into their Updraft Central service. So Updraft Plus, it's a European-based company that maintains a plugin by the same name. It's actively installed on about 1 million websites. And WP Optimize was created 8 years ago by Ruhani Rabin. Hey, here we go with the name butchering again. That's actively installed on about 500,000 sites. So WP Optimize, its primary function is to clean and optimize databases. If you, you know, that seems pretty self-explanatory just from the name.
Right.
So WP Optimize will become part of a suite of plugins that make up Updraft Central. And Updraft Central is going to be a place where you can remotely do backups and, of course, optimize sites now and probably do other things. It might even get up to a level where it's competing with like Managed WP or I think Infinite WP is another service where you can manage websites from remotely. Mm-hmm. So good things here. Congrats to WP Optimize, and now that's kind of neat to see a sort of a European plugin acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good news for all you Updraft Plus and WP Optimize users. With their powers combined, should be beneficial to users.
Yes.
So our last story I wanted to talk about, because I don't know, I wanted to get Marcus's thoughts on this, is that WordPress.com has announced that you can now upload and publish VR virtual reality content to their sites. These include 360-degree photos and 360-degree videos. And also regular photos and panoramas are also available in VR. So the VR gear tested so far for this feature is Cardboard, Gear, Daydream, Rift, and Vive. So apparently how it works is it works just like uploading normal videos or photos. So when you could use the short code, I think it's VR, on your WordPress.com site, and you can decrease this interface where you can drag around and look around on the image. Well, which is neat, but VR. Hey, VR is the thing. Everybody is sort of doing things in virtual reality, and now, now you can upload VR stuff, images to WordPress.com, and I've seen this with Facebook where people upload these 360-degree photos, and I'm moving my phone around to look around, and I'm not quite sure about the experience I have with those.
I have one that you're going to love. It's a 360 video that's on my profile in Facebook, which is the Blue Angels.
Oh, well, that's okay. I've seen that one. That one's cool.
Yeah. I have mixed reactions about VR. I did try it when I was at the Verizon store, and they had that gear. What is it called? Google Gear or Samsung Gear, whatever it is. I thought it was neat. But frankly, until I can edit an Excel sheet in VR, forget about it. It's not there for me yet. I'd love to be able to put that thing on and edit Excel stuff. And as I turn my head, maybe there's this like curved monitor in front of me that I can just infinitely expand it. When I first saw this headline and it said WordPress launches VR content, in my head I thought, wow, they're going to make Core like the movie Tron. Like we go into the, we go in and Hello Dolly meets us at the gate and brings us in and you get to see what Core looks like and all that. But that was just wishful thinking.
So I know VR and doing these images and stuff like that is a great way. Well, it's a new way of telling stories and how people can tell stories and sort of make things more immersive. But we'll have to see how it all works out. But, Marcus, I'm 33. You're a bit older than me. And I wonder if we'll live long enough to where we see VR get to a point where it's almost ubiquitous, where there's so many different applications and, wearing VR is just, as common as wearing a hat, wearing some type of VR display.
Right. I don't know. Time will tell. It certainly is making a big stride in relation to the equipment that's now coming out, especially now with Christmas.
That's one of the things I do like about VR right now is so many different companies now. Manufacturers are getting involved, and that can only help speed things along.
Right. Okay, shifting gears, two unannounced things here on the show notes. First, I want to wish somebody who's a friend of the show a congratulations and hearty good luck. Jeff King from GoDaddy emailed both of us to let us know that he was leaving GoDaddy.
And Jeff, I was not expecting that email.
No, me neither. And so he's moving on to other startup ventures and things, and I'm sure he's going to do fantastic at that. The one thing from his email that I noted that was very interesting was that when he started with GoDaddy and he started dealing with WordPress, he relied on listening to WordPress Weekly to bring him up to speed in terms of the community and what was going on and what we were talking about. And I think he hit the nail on the head from what he learned from us and the needs of the community and implementing that within GoDaddy. I think during his tenure, we've seen the most advancements in what GoDaddy is doing for WordPress. So I congratulate him on
without a shadow of a doubt, GoDaddy is a much better company today than it was before Jeff Kane was hired there 4 years ago. I mean, yeah. GoDaddy has made a lot of strides in all facets of the company, top down, from PR to what's going on behind the scenes, to their products, to the services. And I mean, look at them today. I mean, they're hiring WordPress core contributors. They're contributing back to the community. They sponsor a whole bunch of WordCamps. They're making huge acquisitions, you know, with Managed WP. And then, as we mentioned, I think in a previous show, HEG or Europe's largest hosting group. So they're making large strides, and I think we're going. WP Curve. They also made that investment too. So you're going to see
WP,
whether you like it or not. You're going to see a whole lot more of GoDaddy in the WordPress ecosystem. Yep. And I think it's going to be a good thing. We'll see.
So
congrats, Jeff. You did an awesome job. And I can't wait to be reading about you on TechCrunch for whatever startup you get involved in.
Yes, absolutely. And whoever the new successor is, we'll be sure to have them on the show so we can get a rundown of their vision and where they think things will be going. We're tutorialing that new successor right now as we speak, Jeff. Who knows?
The first question is, how big is Jeff King's shoes that you're filling? Jeff's a great guy. I had a chance to meet him in person. Wonderful guy. Great to talk to. So I wish him the best.
True gentleman. And second, I wanted to talk about something that we mentioned on the show a couple weeks back, which is something that Envato put out called Envato Elements, which is a new subscription-based service. It's $29 a month, and basically it's a buffet style where you can download anything you want. When I first got into it, I was somewhat disappointed at the lack of WordPress resources within Envato Elements. But then as I started using it, kind of understood why. Now, there are Shopify themes and Magento and all the rest of it in there, even Drupal stuff, but there was nothing in terms of WordPress. However, here's where Elements really came in handy for me. I had a project this past week where I was doing some banners that I needed to make it look like a comic book. And so I went to Envato Elements and I just typed in comic, and lo and behold, there was everything there, comic book fonts, comic book backgrounds, Adobe Illustrator styles, all of that. It made things so much easier for me. They have even print graphics, roll-up banners, displays, portfolios, documents, resumes, all kinds of stuff. So I will say right now I'm pretty satisfied with it because it's already helped me out in one project. We'll see. I'll keep reporting on the progress and some of the things that I do with it. But so far, it's a pretty good investment.
Nice. Yeah. And that sort of makes sense. Envato Elements, and they're just going to, for the course of time, that's probably going to be a library that sees a vast amount of elements added, you know, whether it's website themes or fonts or whatever. And I like that name, Elements, because what makes up a website? Elements.
That's right. You know?
So that's a good plan, the name. So that does it for the news of the week. And I'm glad we had an opportunity to get people caught up on some of the things going on in the WordPress community. But before we wrap it up, you have three plugins. We have more plugins that we want to talk
about. Yes. Got a little bit for everybody here today. The first one is called WP YouTube Live. And this is nice. It's a little widget-based or short code-based plugin that displays the current YouTube live video that you've got from your specified channel. And there are several different short code options to it. You can either have it autoplay, you can change the dimensions of it, you can choose not to display if there's not an actual live video taking place at the moment. So a plugin like this, Jeff, you know, you've got a code area within WP Tavern that typically puts in the YouTube link to the video that we've got that we're doing and recording this show with. Mm-hmm. YouTube Live plugin would automatically do that. It would automatically add that video while we were live, and then maybe have the option to take it off after we were done.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
The next one is a WooCommerce plugin. It's a pretty neat one called Woo Floating Cart Lite. And the Lite means there is a pro version available for it, but the Lite one that I tested from the repository works just fine. It's an interactive floating cart for WooCommerce that slides in via Ajax when somebody adds it to cart. So it just puts something in the lower right corner that shows their cart and the total and all of that. Products, quantities, prices, all of that are updated instantly with Ajax. And it's a lot like many of the different professional carts that you see out there from the big retail stores. It's a really nice way to keep the cart in view at all times on every page after they add something to the cart. And as you know, Jeff, cart abandonment is a monstrous issue within e-commerce. If you can even just get a 5% improvement within cart abandonment, sometimes you can double your sales. It really depends. So that's a great plugin, Woo Floating Cart Lite. And finally, somebody that needed this plugin that asked me via email, I found this for them. It's called Import Facebook Events, and it allows you to import events from Facebook into plugins like the Events Calendar and Events Manager automatically. So if you have a client or you yourself use the Events Calendar and you want a quick way for an event to be created through Facebook and want to make it an absolutely lazy no-brainer, this is the plugin for you. So it's an add-on plugin that needs the Events Calendar or Events Manager installed and activated for it to work, but it does work very well. It's called Import Facebook Events, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
Speaking of the Events Calendar, that's the one by Modern Tribe, right?
Yes, it is.
I think they acquired that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there you go. So coming up again.
Modern Tribe's actually owned that for a long time, so they didn't just recently get it.
Well, what did they acquire? They acquired something earlier this year that was a great addition to what they're doing with events.
Yeah.
And now I can't think of it, but I bet you when we do the show review and year in review show, we'll probably mention it.
Yeah. And that'll be
nice too, because it'll be interesting to see how many different acquisitions, well, of course, that we wrote about on the tavern, but that we share and discuss throughout the year. You think there'll be more than 20?
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
The other plugin that I'm curious to see how long this takes for it to come out is Facebook has just announced that they're going to do Facebook Live in audio version. And I don't know what that's going to bring for podcasts or how we can use that or take advantage of that. Maybe we'd even be able to put the podcasts in the WP Tavern Facebook page, maybe. I don't know. But when audio comes out, I'm sure you'll get an onslaught of all your friends boringly talking into the thing, thinking that they're a podcaster, but this is the real deal. So hopefully we can reach all new fame once that audio revelation comes out in Facebook.
Well, there you have it. So we got you caught up. It's the week before Christmas. So Marcus and I want to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a happy holiday. And hopefully it's safe, it's joyous. I know it's going to be for me. I've got some frozen duck in the waiting for me. You know, we're gonna have. It's always a tradition that we do in our family to have duck on Christmas, and then right around the corner there's New Year's, and what does that mean? Pork. So eat good this time of year, and of course we've got one more show before we wrap it up, and everybody enjoy. Well, hell. I got to tell you, I'm skipping ahead here. It's like I really want to get out of here and eat my birthday cake. That does it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. Oh, and before all right, we'll get to that. But you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0, Marcus.
MarcusCouch.com, at MarcusCouch on Twitter.
All right, before we go, Prestonomics 5 tickets did go on sale, general admission. They're about $425 each, so it's more expensive than a typical WordCamp, but Pressnomics is not a WordCamp. So, of course, I attended, what was it, Pressnomics 2 or 3. It was a great time. I learned a lot of things, and if you're involved in business or the economics of WordPress, it definitely, I think it's you'll gain a lot of value if you can find a way to attend.
Yeah. I'd like to. Boy, that's a hefty price tag.
Well, yeah.
So maybe I'll get a sponsor. Who wants to sponsor me? Raise your hand.
Raise your hand. All right. And by the way, Marcus and I did a really cool interview session with John Parkinson of WordPress.tv, and that was great. And once it goes on there, we'll announce it to you folks, our listeners, so you can check that out. But that was a cool interview we did.
Yeah, it was way too short. It's as somebody who does an hour long show with you every week, it was weird to close things out.
We made 30 minutes feel like 10.
Yeah.
So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon for the year in review. Until then, bye-bye.